Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. By the time you're listening, welcome to More Than Just a Podcast.
That's not the way it goes, is it?
Is it not?
No, no.
Why not?
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast, and I go, podcast.
Well, that'll do then. Welcome tonight to Sean in the deep depths of Surrey.
Yeah.
Welcome to the local lad, Nigel.
Aye, aye.
In deepest, darkest Essex now, not getting town.
And myself, John, in not the deepest part of Surrey, just a little bit off Surrey. So over to you, Sean, as you are the leader.
Season 5, episode 23. And I'd like to say to you, belated happy St. George's Day to both of you.
Thanks.
It's not a St. George's Day podcast, but how did you spend St. George's Day?
Doing jobs and bits and pieces.
You didn't wear a St. George's cross and go out and be patriotic then?
No, I just put on me shorts when I was in the garden, me George cross ones.
Okay, well, it is a football podcast. It is a football podcast, and let's talk about football. We missed one because of the Easter bank holiday, so I'm going to rewind you back to that great game against Sunderland, the Black Cats. Did you go, Nigel?
No.
No? Call yourself a supporter?
Oh, no. Shocking, isn't it? Shocking. I did watch the game, but no. Didn't.
Sunderland the furthest game away now? I don't know. You know your stats.
This season, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Obviously not next season.
Why are they coming back?
Twofold. Well, one, they're going down, and Newcastle's about, I think, 15 miles, 10 miles further north.
Right, okay. So, let's talk about Sunderland. Did you watch the game, John?
I watched most of it, or the second half. I can't remember. I didn't see the first half. You were keeping us up to date. I was doing something. I can't remember. I have seen it all since.
It's 2-2. It was 2-2, by the way.
It was.
So, tell us what you can remember of it, and then we'll go to the to fill us in the blank spot.
Well, from what I thought, what I have seen it all since. So obviously we got an early goal, didn't we? From a Carroll miss hit. They equalised. They did equalise, didn't they? Is that right?
They did.
Not long after, and then we Ginger Collins got one. Yeah, that was it. The direct from the corner, wasn't it? Some Kasri, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was one of the strangest goal. And then obviously that was the beginning of the end of Randolph. And then we got back in front, and then they scored in about the 90th minute. Any Barini Peregrine. That's all
Carol
I can remember.
Says we've lost 22 points this season when we've scored first. You said it in a. In a Sun football diary, so it must be true, John.
Well, that's
do we not know how to hold on to a lead? Or is that
who said it? Karen Brady.
Karen Brady.
Can we have that verified? It's true or not? I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, the Daily Star reported
it
afterwards, so
must be true then. Oh, blimey, she can tell the truth.
It's all just part of their constant sort of like drip drabbing of undermining of the manager, isn't it? That sort of stuff. So, but yeah, it hasn't been good. It hasn't been good, has it? We have lost quite a few points from winning positions, but that was just pretty poor defending all round, which obviously was put right this weekend. But it was the beginning of the end of Randolph, wasn't it? Randolph sort of flat. He got taken out for that corner, didn't he? When that corner went in, he actually got flattened by it. Was it
Anthony Chibi? Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Were the tactics wrong in your view, John? Before I move on to Nigel from the manager.
No, they were fine. The tactics were fine.
Criticise the manager. Prepared to criticise the owner. Did the owners get anything wrong for the Sunderland game, John?
No, they didn't. They've got everything wrong every other time, not on the Sunderland game. No.
All right, let's move over to you, Nigel. What, have you got anything to add on that 2-2? I know it seems quite a way ago.
Good away point.
It was, actually. I mean, I know they're probably down, but they didn't know it at the time, probably, did they?
But they hadn't scored for how long before?
Only about 7 hours.
But it was, wasn't it?
They hadn't scored at home since December. And then they hadn't scored a goal in the Premier League for 7 hours, I believe. But, I mean, take that aside. If you look at winning your own games, drawing away, you've got to go, oh, well, that's a good away point. We scored twice. You know, the second goal, I thought, was a bit unfortunate. Randolph come a long way. He did get hold of the ball and punch it clear. Unfortunately, it felt the Barini still managed to get it through the crowd of players. I thought it was a bit harsh to just put the blame on Randolph.
Would you have dropped Randolph before Sunderland game, Nigel?
No.
No? Do you think he was right? I know, jumping ahead, would you think it was right to drop him for the Everton game?
Possibly. The only reason for that is because if you drop a keeper after mistakes to bring in his reserve, and then the reserve makes mistakes, you then have to revert it back because you have to treat them fairly. Now, whether he deserved to be dropped or not, I'm not sure. But the fact that, as I said, you've got to treat players fairly and then they'll respect you. So, you know, it's come out Adrian and Bilic, I don't know, intimated they hadn't been really talking. Perhaps that's because Adrian felt Randall's been making mistakes and I've been brought back in.
Yeah.
But that, you know, he fixed that in a way by making the change.
I'm trying to remember now who our strikers were. Was Andy Carroll played for how many minutes?
Carroll and AU.
AU. Did Sacco come on? Sacco didn't come on at all, did he? That,
no.
Ah, of course, that was the big story, wasn't it?
The stop, wasn't it?
So the Sacco story, as far as I'm concerned, I know that Village has come out and denied it, was on the Friday. On the Thursday, on the press conference, Village said, you know, that he's likely to be available for selection. On the Friday, suddenly, and on Friday morning, well, up to Friday 3 o'clock, the official website of West Ham are still saying, you know, he's likely to be available for selection. Suddenly, it breaks on KUMB that he's not on the coach. Then we hear he's had a little knock, which was a little bit of maybe PR put out by the club. And then finally we hear, and I don't think it was a bust up, but it went like this. Billick calls him and says, you're not starting on Saturday. And he goes, well, my knee hurts. I don't think I can come. It's simple as that. No argument, no bust up. But basically, Sacco withdrawn his services. Whose side do you come down on that? Obviously, he was back, is the manager right to...
Well, he's the manager,
you know,
he picks the team. He's
Sorry?
The manager who picks the team. If he's the manager, yeah. He picks the team. The players have to abide that. Look, the only thing I would say is, why tell him before he gets on the coach? Once he's on the coach, He ain't jumping off, is he?
Yeah.
So, you know, announce your team Friday night when you're up there, because you're taking a squad of players, keep them on their toes. Are they playing? Are they not?
But, would you get rid of Sacco? You know, this is not the first time they've had a bust up. Would you get rid of him?
If I was Bilic and everything that's gone out is true that's been said about Sacco, which I'm not 100% sure is, we don't really know, then probably I think you would do, because you would see him as a bad influence. You can't have players withdrawing their services. When, in a way, I suppose, perhaps he was protecting Sacco. He's just come back from injury. He's only played, what, 1.5 games this season?
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't just walk back in. We don't have reserve football now for him to get proper match fit.
Well, he's not match fit. I mean, we said on the plan with you that he would only play 30 minutes, and you probably thought in the Everton game he came right on 60 minutes. It's a shame we didn't script that.
Well, you know, so it's up to the, for me, if down to the manager, he lives or dies. It's him that gets sacked when there's bad results.
Yeah.
So it's his choice.
So would you, did you answer the question? Would you get rid of in the summer?
If I was Bilic, yes.
Right. John, would you get rid of Sacco in the summer?
Well, like if it's all true what's been said, then he will end up going. But I think a fit and firing, we're yet to see it. But what we've seen of him when he has been fit and had a consistent run of games, he scores goals. And I think if he goes to someone who's, you know, on the same sort of par as us and is fit and plays, I wouldn't be surprised if he scored 15, 20 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he will, you know, he's had a problem, hasn't he? He's had this back problem, and we're told by your sources that they've got to the bottom of this problem now.
Yeah.
He's as fit as he's ever been and as fit as they can get him. And I just think it
might
be worse.
We've heard the same with Andy Carroll, though, to be fair.
No, yeah, the Carroll's is totally different, I think. He's inherently just going to break down all the time. I can't ever see him.
So, follow-up question to both of you, starting with John. Should we sell him to China if they come in the summer?
I do like him. I think he's good, but I would get rid of him there.
Same to you, Nigel. Get rid of him in the summer? Cameron?
No, out of the two, I think you've got to keep one of them.
Yeah.
And out of the two, I would keep Carroll. But it's a bit hard. I know he's on big money. I wouldn't be playing him two games on the trot.
I read something, I think it was on West Ham Social, that Andy Carroll's only played 41% of the time.
It's not for me it's not trying to save the wages or the money. It is the case that we set
85 grand basic a week, by the way, John.
It's the Premier League, isn't it? We set up our whole team when he has a run of form and a run of games, we set up to play for him, and then when he drops out, he's a massive loss, and then we have to try and revert to a different game plan, and we find it hard. And I just think that if he was out of the squad now, we moved on and we went for a different style of play all round, and to accommodate the players that we can get.
OK. All right. Well, let's move on to Sam Byron. Got a second yellow, got sent off. Sam Byron, real deal for you two, starting with you, John. Is he the right back, or do we need him to put him as a second string right back and get a proper right back over the summer?
I think he's got something about him, but I don't think he's ready. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think we need another right back.
We got one. Abeloa. By the way, he's on 65 grand a week, right?
You know
since
he's
his fallout with since his fallout with Bilic over cackling during a training match, he hasn't really played. He's played
And that's
four...
true, Sean.
It is
over
true.
What? Kettling?
Cackling. He
cackled. Oh,
cackling.
I thought you said
cackling.
No cackle,
cackle, as in laughing. Apparently there was a cackle. Training match, right? There was a training match a long time ago. Club covered it up. And
not that well, if you know it.
Well, I agreed. By the way, I agreed, rightly or wrongly, with a number of other people that are very well known RTKs, not to release it at the time, because the club was going through a lot of stuff with the London Stadium at the time. We agreed not to release it. So I know it's the truth, but they fell out. He sent Abeloa to the under-23s to train with them at Chadwell Heath for 2 weeks. And they really haven't... I know he's been injured off and on.
Well, that's training at Chadwell Heath for you.
$65,000 a week. $65,000 a week. He's played 4 matches, right? That's two... Not that I've done this before, but I've added it up. That's £500,000 an appearance for Abeloa. And I said, although obviously in hindsight I take it back, but I said, well, maybe we should have played him against Everton. Obviously, we didn't need him, and 3 at the back worked adequately well, and we're going to move on to that in a minute. But it does seem a bit of a waste, and I wish they would just kiss and make up. Or maybe one of you two are going to say, well, we should never have got Abeloa in the first place. He's a spent force, and his experience doesn't count for anything because his legs are gone. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, this is a bloke who's won Champions League. Was he in the World Cup thing when Spain won?
Yeah, won the World Cup.
Surely, to get a player like that, we didn't pay any money for him, did we? We signed him on a free.
That's why he was £65,000 a week.
When we signed him, he was worth the £65,000 a week.
Yeah.
Now, nobody could see he was going to fall out with a manager.
Yeah.
You know, when they
the manager wanted him, it was one of the manager's choices.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's hard. The thing I've always said with new players is you've got to give them 3 to 6 months to get to the speed, playing regular, to get to the pace of the Premier League anyway. He's not been a fool about it, has he, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's move on from the Black Cat. So a quick stat attack. Obviously, 2 goals apiece. Possession, West Ham had 52% away from home. Black Cats had 48. West Ham had 7 shots, 3 on target, while the Black Cats actually had 14 shots and 4 on target. So maybe they didn't deserve the draw, and it should have been the other way around, if the stats are to be to believe. Day Nige.
Well, you know what I think the stats are, a lot of old rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't tell the story of a game.
Anyway, let's bring this up to date and talk about the game just a few days ago at the London Stadium, because I know you both love the London Stadium. West Ham versus Everton. Now, I just want
to... The Toffees.
The Toffees, absolutely. Although I've put Blues on the running order, not the Toffees. I don't know why I've done that. So let's talk about... We had a chat over WhatsApp on the way there, right? What did you say, Nigel, to begin with, the score would be? What was your prediction?
I predicted 0-0, didn't I?
You didn't say 0-0, no.
No, I didn't. I actually said we would lose 3-0.
Yeah. And what did you say, John?
Oh, I can't remember, Sean. Was it 3-1 or something, or 3-0?
Well, you certainly said Lukaku hat-trick. I can't remember
that.
Yeah,
Lukaku hat-trick, 3-0.
And what did I say?
Oh, I don't listen to you.
That's why he's brought it up, isn't it? Obviously.
What did I say, Nigel?
I walked into this. Yes, I remember what you said. You said, no, I'm going for a Hammers draw.
I did. I said, I'm following Mark Lawson, and what he said, he said, stalemate.
Hey, didn't you said I'm following Mark Lawson?
Lawson. I forget.
Who's he talking about?
Who's Mark Lawson? So I thought, do you know what? It felt like a win to me because I was expecting, like you, if I'm honest with you, that Lukaku would score for his 10th time in a row. And I was pleasantly surprised of the game. And you know, a quick stat attack before we start this time. Possession. West Ham only had 41 possession at home, while Everton obviously enjoyed 59, even though I put 61 on the running order. West Ham had 15 shots with 3 on target. And this really interested me. The top is, and he had 4 shots with 0 on target. Did that surprise you, Nigel?
I haven't watched the game, no.
No, they didn't have a single one on target.
No, I didn't. I couldn't remember one save agent at the make.
Yeah, well, I didn't know we had 15 shots. 3 on target sounds about right. But yeah, I thought it was a spirited performance. Before I've come to you two, you know, for me, Arthur Mascherano was excellent. Massusa. I don't
Just wanted you to say it.
Just call him Arthur.
I was just going to call him Arthur. Arthur had an immense game and certainly is far better than an Alan Cresswell at the moment in his current form. I thought James Collins played out of skin, good old-fashioned centre-back, no nonsense. He is Mr. West Ham for me at the moment. Better than Mark Noble. Here's a guy who G's up the crowd. For the second time, he's jumped into the crowd, whipped off his shirt, celebrated with fans. He is the very essence of passion and playing for the badge. And it's hard to disagree with that. And let's start with you, Nigel, of the game as you saw it. Obviously, no goals, but a spirited performance, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure a lot of West Ham fans were pleasantly surprised with the outcome of the game, which I then caveat by saying it just shows you how far we've fallen that we feel that way about a 0-0 draw at home with Everton.
Well, they've done really well, haven't they? Lukaku has been valued.
Well, they've only won one in six away games.
Yeah.
In recent form. So actually, that's probably on par for Everton's away form. And we weren't taking notice of their away form. We were just taking notice of their league position. So
I haven't mentioned Winston Reid. He had an immense game. He had Lukaku in his pocket, didn't he?
Well, Lukaku didn't get a sniff, but then he didn't get a service. He could stay midfield, did its job. I think we played as a team. It's hard for me to pick one player out. You can't go and say, oh, he had a bad game. Well, actually, Adrian nearly made a mistake, funny enough, in the first half.
He didn't he, yeah.
But, you know, everything that was asked of the players was achieved, apart from we didn't really have the service, did we? The three shots on target, you tell me what they were, because I can think of Lanzini with a powder puff.
Was one of them, I can tell you now.
Their keeper didn't pull off top-class saves, did he?
No, he didn't, but Chiarty tried to slot one in, and I think it was on target and saved it. I think James Collins was another one on target. I couldn't name the third.
So, you know, that, yes, it's another point. You know, I don't like celebrating 0-0 draws as a sort of semi-victory like the West Ham Twitter feed tried to do. Because you should win your own
games.
Another
point. 38 points should be saved this year, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sunderland and
Borough
are already down. Swansea are 8 points or 7 points off us.
Seven.
They need to win three of their four games to really survive. It just, and two of them against big teams.
They don't need to win three of the four to survive, but they need to win three of the four, and we lose every game to overtake us.
Yeah. Cool.
But we ain't going down. I think you'll probably find that 36 points would probably have kept you up this season.
Yeah.
Shows you how unlucky Rhoda was, wasn't it?
Yeah,
42.
So let's bring to you, John. I know you weren't. I took my kids on Saturday, and so I was in row four while you were in. Sorry?
So did John.
They weren't looking. John wasn't very well on Saturday. He nearly didn't go to the game. He made a late call to camp, and George looked pretty miserable up there. And I came up a couple of times during the game and said, exciting, isn't it? And they went, yeah, right. And the only thing I will agree with John is we didn't look like scoring very much, did we? But I won't put words in your mouth, John. You tell me what you thought of the rip-roaring entertainment at the London Stadium.
I thought it was a great game. I really enjoyed my day. I was really up for it from the beginning. And when I got there, I just got better and better. So, yeah, great performance all round, Sean.
But sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, John.
it was a lot better than I expected. People like Northite and Masuaku and that, they just had games that they hadn't had. Well, to be fair, more Northite than Masuaku because he's been pretty decent when he's played. But he done really well. Collins was immense. I think he had more of a battle with Lukaku than Reid particularly did.
Yeah, no, I think you might be right.
I think he got collared a couple of times. Everyone done well, but we did look pretty toothless and, you know, set pieces, Lanzini
played. I think we set out for a draw, if you don't mind me saying. I thought we sort of were playing for the draw from the beginning rather than trying to go out and win.
We set up to be solid. I mean, I still don't see why, you know, all that talk about what Fletcher did, that goal he scored and that, why someone like he doesn't start when he plays Caleri from the beginning, and who's a player we've got on loan with no option to buy, and he's going back home in a couple of games. What is the point?
You're not better off. We had no one else, really. And,
but he had Fletcher on the bench, didn't he?
I saw some techers of Fletcher in training, and, you know, he looked pretty good, but I suppose anyone can look good in training.
So that was the thing for me, really. I didn't understand why he started, but, yeah.
Sacco, a bit too hard to say. I know he was only on for 30 minutes, but he did look a bit rusty, you know. It's difficult to say whether he will come back as is. But it might be irrelevant if he's off in the summer.
Well, when it got to about 80 minutes, I was literally hoping that we got the draw at that point, because we would have hurt, I think, after that performance.
Yeah. Did you leave early? Because
no.
I met Nigel outside and you were nowhere to be seen. We were waiting for the away segregation to open, which opened pretty quickly. Couldn't find you at the bar, couldn't find you at the away segregation. Where did you go?
We left straight off because George was going to a concert. I had to get back home for my daughter and that, so...
But how did you get past the way segregation? You weren't there waiting for it to open.
We did a right and then a left. We ended up walking through all that and into Pudding Mill Lane with all the Scousers.
Oh, did
which
you?
Was quite, yeah, which was quite interesting. A lot of them were slagging off the stadium. You wouldn't have liked it.
Yeah.
There were people walking through there going, "God, our new stadium ain't like this," and all this sort of thing. So
did you see the... Well, aren't they getting some state funding from Liverpool Council or something, Everton? There's been this big hoo-ha.
I don't know.
I think Liverpool are bidding for the Commonwealth Games.
I think Liverpool Council
want to use the stadium as part of the deal. So you've got to see whether they do what we've got, or do they do what Man City got. In a way, I suppose, if Everton were available to be bought, I'm surprised Golden Sullivan ain't selling up or buying Everton. You know, get them to move into a stadium, rent it.
They've been nice on the supporters of Everton, actually.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Sullivan's, yeah.
But there was to Birmingham, but we're not a Birmingham podcast, so we won't tell what Harry taken over from Zola at Birmingham. Well, that's hilarious.
I listened to the 606 podcast of Clive Life phone in, and there was a Everton fan on there, absolutely annihilated his day at the stadium. Just went on there and absolutely abused it. So.
Have you seen the video of that's been on YouTube of the row between the West Ham supporter and the filming the steward and the student?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, I don't think he made himself out there. I mean, neither carved themselves in glory. I thought the West Ham supporters looked like right yobs, swearing and abusing, and the steward didn't make himself out to be really good, so I don't think either side really came out of that too well. But it shows you there's still a disconnect between stewards and the fans, isn't there?
Yeah, but that'll always be there. The only way to remedy it is for West Ham to be in charge of the stewarding and to direct them. And since we know that ain't going to happen, there is never going to be a remedy to that.
Yeah. Funny enough, I asked the London Stadium, you know these, I came across someone with a camera, you know these body-worn cameras, and I asked lots of questions about these. And what the London Stadium told me, which I didn't know, I mean, there's 48 of these for all the two sides, and I said, well, how is it recording, what do you do with the footage, and who can review it? They're not on. They only get turned on during an incident.
Yeah. And they should tell you they're turning them on. I'm pretty sure the Data Protection Act.
We
but
do.
When,
so
before they
is,
turn them on, they
have
to
the,
say to you, yeah, we are
yeah,
going to record
part
this.
Of what I've raised with them. I've sent them 10 questions, and I've said, I will bring this up with the ICO if you don't answer about data protection, and they're being a bit vague at the moment. Anyway, it's not a data protection podcast. So all I'm going to say is, sure. Let's see what the gaffer has to say.
Slaven, Ronald Koeman's been in here and said only one side deserved to win the game, and that was yours. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's great for him, but you know that if he is honest manager and all that, so it's nice to hear. Yeah, I think we deserve to win. To be fair, I couldn't have asked for more. from my players, and I told them in the dressing room, okay, we can talk about a little bit lack of quality decisions in a box and or around the box, but spirit, determination, effort, team effort, the defensive part of the game, how solid we were, how composed we were. It's not easy, you know, we can talk that they weren't good, but we are talking about Everton, the team that is very capable of creating chances, of scoring goals and all that. To limit them, not to have basically one single chance in whole game, it's you need quality and effort, and that's what we've done. And I'm only gutted that we didn't win the game.
Is the one frustration for you again, as ever, is just that inability at times to be able to convert those chances into goals?
Yeah, but to be fair, so far in the season, we let's say, put it this way, we scored enough goals. Not today, of course, but enough goals. For us, it was the question that we were conceding goals and all that. Today, we were great in that. But if you're watching today's game, of course, there is a bit of frustration because from my point of view, we didn't have clear-cut opportunities, but 8 or 9 of the situations where you are, where you can score, we couldn't and we didn't. But look, it's very positive. Very positive, really good performance, team performance in front of the great crowd, and we got a point. We wanted 3. We knew it's going to be extremely hard, and we got a point, and we go towards the next game of the season in a very positive way.
Is it a point that you think just about now guarantees your Premier League safety?
Unfortunately not. No, no. Hull won the game. Swansea won the game. So it's still not. It's still not. But what pleases me is the performance and move on to the next game.
We wish you well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
What did you think about that then, John?
I haven't heard it, Sean.
Oh, really? For the first time? After 5 series, in about 100 and whatever episodes, you're going to finally admit
honestly, sorry, I haven't heard it. So, I would imagine it was quite positive, though. I would imagine he was talking up the whole team's performance.
He was pleased. I think he said, I'm pleased with the performance.
Yeah, I think we deserve the point.
If I'm honest with you, I haven't even downloaded it, so I...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
On this case, and I've and just to let you into the podcast magic, I will be editing that later, which is an in-joke that we've been having for 4 or 5 seasons now. And now,
yeah, us listeners would never have known.
No. Anyway, let's move on the running order. One thing that John actually gave me a story for Clarence Hugh today, and that.
Hold on a minute. I didn't give you a story. I asked
you, did.
Is this true? I asked you, is this true? This is the question. It wasn't, here's a story for you.
Well, and then I came up with my favourite headline of the day, which is Club Sells Shirts Off Players' Backs, which I thought was a great headline. What's the story,
Tom? You would be proud.
What was what, Sean?
What is the story?
On Twitter, I saw it. I think actually I saw it on the big screen on Saturday as well. You could buy the shirt that Carroll scored the overhead kick in and whatever. And I didn't take much notice of it. Then I saw it on the official Twitter feed, and it was up for up to £1,000 or something. Or
£1,260 when I wrote the story for Planet
Neutral. I just messaged you and asked you, is this for real, as in a sort of money making scheme to get more money out of fans for the club, or is this for charity?
And I didn't know, so I asked the club, and do you know what they said?
What did they say?
Get lost.
Well, I asked them whether it's for charity or the academy, and they came back and said we're only doing what Arsenal, Liverpool, West Brom, Palace and Millwall do already. So in other words, I think you can take that as read as the money goes straight to the club. But why I'm going to ask you, John, and I think I know the answer, is it a bit tacky and desperate that we need money so badly that we would sell worn shirts? And not
I thought about it at the time, and I thought that's just so wrong. It's just our barrow boy blokes in charge of our club and doing. But then, you know, I think it's just a realisation of, as a man of a certain age, that's just how bad and commercial football is these days, and they'll do anything to make money out of you.
Well, I didn't know Liverpool and Arsenal did this beforehand. Arsenal started it. It's a German company back in 2014, so they've been doing it for 3 years. Nigel, is it wrong?
Arsenal just ripped the arse out of everyone, didn't they?
I'll tell you the story, and I put it in there, which is the person who bought it in at Arsenal, who's now the MD at West Ham, almost definitely bought this in. You know, he's the MD of West Ham now, probably bought it in Arsenal 3 years ago when he was there. And I'm sure you know him anyway, Nigel. Nigel, is this wrong or right that they should be doing this? Should they be giving money to charity, or shouldn't they be doing it at all?
Well, I was under the impression that the shirts they were selling, set aside the Andy Carroll one, were the Poppy shirts.
Yeah, they did. Now, they did sell that for charity. Yes, they did.
Now, that should be going to Royal British Legion.
It did, yeah.
Right.
They did.
So,
yeah.
That. Now, we get to the Andy Carroll shirt. I mean, if someone's mug enough to pay £1,200 for that shirt,
yeah.
I mean, I'll buy...
David Noyes, by the way, is the top bidder.
Look, at the end of the day, you know, these things have got value. If he's got 1,200 quid to throw away on a match-worn shirt, which when you look at, I buy memorabilia, and you look at match-worn shirts, I've got a James Collin match-worn shirt from 2008, I think.
Yeah.
Autographed by the players, framed nicely. Yeah.
Did you ever sniff it?
At an auction. Well, I've seen the grass stain. So Before I picked it up, I had it framed. So I bought it at an auction unframed, and I paid, and they got it framed for me. And it was £180.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, I'll tell you what, you could buy a Fagooli one for that price, by the way.
Well.
He's only 130 quid at the moment.
But that's what I'm saying. You know, there's no value in paying £1,200 quid. Should the club be doing this? I find it a bit laughable. You know, there's no surprise that Arsenal have done this before. You know, I've said it before. It's the Arsenal for case of West Ham.
But Liverpool, let's be honest, Liverpool, it's Palace.
Just because other clubs do it.
Is there safety in numbers, or is it just wrong?
No, because because other clubs do it, you know, it don't mean we have to. Other clubs win trophies. It don't mean we have to. you know, we're West Ham, we're different. You know, let's behave differently. We can put ourselves more than just a football club, they used to say. Well, it's just a money-making machine.
Yeah. Okay.
What is a football club for?
I must admit, even I.
Is it to make money, or is it here to play football?
Even I raised my eyebrows at this one, and I thought that actually, if nothing else, you should say the money goes to the academy, because that's just a, like, little white lie.
They've done that before with other money, about what it said, oh, it goes to the academy. It just gets swallowed up. Where does it say in the accounts? Oh, yeah, when we sold this auction
stuff.
But
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I would have said. The money goes to the academy, and no one should prove any wise.
They don't really care, do they, about the things like that. I mean, you look at just the stuff like Brady writing for the Sun, like the boy Sullivan now writing for the Sun. most people think that's distasteful or at least wrong for a director of a football club to be talking about other directors and stuff that she talks about in a column in The Sun. And The Sun is an issue as another thing for football fans.
I will mention, I will pass on your regards when I see her tomorrow, John.
Well, was that before your three-course meal, your little private tour and a little sort of like...
No,
players
lounge.
It's
just a business meeting.
Are you sure?
Meeting.
Yeah. So it's totally different than the last one then.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. this is the second story that John helped me with on Clout and Hugh this week.
Oh, God. So John's going to get... And what sauce will he be?
So
I mean,
he's my
sauce.
You've
got senior sauce.
So actually, John in this case, wrote to Karen Brady on Twitter and David Gold. Yes, he did. And he said, and Clarence Hewan said, will you run this story about Dean Saunders, not Dan Saunders, if your paymasters...
Oh, to you.
Sources. Yeah. We'll allow it. So I did write a story. Did I not? Did I follow through, John?
You did, yes.
So give me a summary of what Dean Saunders said, even though I did actually transcribe the words exactly. What was Dean Saunders' beef on BBC TV?
It was on their BBC, is it called the Final Score or something they call it?
Yeah.
And he just said, they said, asked him about Billich's position, and he said if he was Billich, he would resign the way that the management have come out above him and undermined him.
He said they'd undermined him, that there was talk at the beginning of the season about a list, and that he would have walked.
And that the director, one of the directors to be putting out on social media apologising for performances, it's not his place.
Yeah. I must say, I'm going to start this one off. I disagree with Dean Saunders, you'll be surprised me to say. Dean Saunders is going on hearsay. You know, the board have never come
That's
out and say they're
is
looking
it?
For... No, the board have never said there's a list or they were replacing him.
That's
if
not
you
hearsay.
Look, right.
So it's not true, Tom.
Well, why?
You're telling me that the people that met Mancini in the crowd, the names of other managers that you've actually told
Mancini
us in the past.
Mancini has been tacking the ball up and not the other way around.
All right, well, whichever way
so
you
has
go.
Has the club ever looked at replacing Billich this season? Have they drawn up a list? Have they ever looked at other managers?
Seriously,
have you ever been told...
When you told me
that like things like Ranieri and is this untrue?
I think all owners will have a contingency plan that's not the same as drawing up a list and undermining the manager.
But
now, if the press want to link names, that's up to them.
Do they pull his
name
out of the blue?
Was very
they
matter
make it
of
up.
Fact. Well, does he know? Has Dean Saunders? I don't know what his relationship is with Billich. Has Dean Saunders actually spoken to Karen, David or David and found out when there was a list?
He doesn't
right?
need to. He needs to look at Karen Brady's column
Historically, and Nigel will tell you this, Gold and Sullivan do not sack managers. We know this. Come on, Nigel.
Yes.
Do they sack managers historically?
No. Historically,
they don't. Yeah, I know.
At Birmingham... Terry Cooper was disposed. So in fact, it mirrored what West Ham. They got rid of Terry Cooper after the first season when they bought the club. Brought in Trevor Francis. He was there for years. He failed. Brought in Bruce. They got relegated. Still didn't sack him. Bruce bought him up. Then they appointed McLeish and then they sold the club.
Yep.
So that's it for, what was that, 7 years?
Well, let me ask you. All right, let me ask you another question, John. Dean Saunders has said that some of the bad season was down to the owners undermining the manager. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that some of our poor results...
Did he say that? Did he actually say that?
Yeah, he actually said that some of the... He said a lot of the bad results this season by Billich are down because he was undermined. Do you really believe... Do you agree with Dean Saunders on that point, John?
I don't agree that our performance is down to him being undermined, no. But
no.
I do agree that he has been undermined and they continue to. And it's not a case that they're lining someone up to replace him. I think that because of the high esteem that he was held in by the fans, they were not happy with the performances, they weren't happy with the results, but they didn't want to sack him because of the backlash they would have got from the fans.
Right.
On top of the stadium move and everything else, they are trying to engineer a way where he's had enough of it and he'll walk away as an honourable sort of man. How I interpret it. But
I think, this is what I think, for what it's worth, you can argue afterwards. I think most owners in the second half of the division in the Premier League discuss sacking managers if they fear they're going to get relegated. And we know many of them have replaced it. The difference between West Ham and Rotherham is...
We have an inability
it leads from West
to keep
Ham, yeah.
anything
yeah.
inside
I
the
will,
club.
John, we are in agreement with that. We should keep our mouths shut. I agree.
Be a quiet podcast.
It would be a very quiet podcast. Anyway, let's move on from that. Obviously, Dean Saunders has said what
Can
you
I
said.
Defend Dean Saunders then?
Go on then.
Well, to be fair, have the owners been has Billets been undermined? Yes, he has. Now, when a manager's undermined, the players will see that. Yeah, and remember, some of them players are there because Billets has bought them. Some of them may think now, whenever there's a change of manager, a manager will want to bring his own players in. There's a lot of people that rely on Billets being at the club for them to start the club.
Yeah,
so they will see that. And it can affect performances on the pitch. Now, I'm not saying that, because he's been undermined, this is why we're sitting, 14th, 15th on 38 points. But it is all conducive to what has happened throughout the season. Now, the fact is, they have...
We've recruited badly. We've played people out of position. Please don't conveniently forget.
But some players have played out of position because of injuries. Some players are played out of position because of injuries.
Oh, come on, Antonio. Let's go back to the beginning of the season when Antonio was played for a right back and he was stubborn, he didn't want to move him.
All right, but you and I both spoke at the start of the season that we knew Billets was going to play Antonio as a right back. He thought Antonio, which is his right to think that. He's the manager.
World-class right back, yeah.
Well, not world-class.
He's not world-class now.
Right back. Now, look at what the job that Antonio done at right back last season. So we've got to base it on that evidence, not the evidence on now. Last season, he'd done a great job at right back. You cannot say he didn't because he did.
It was a fluke. I don't know what it is. Hold
on. Look at Klopp. Where's he playing Milner? Look at, what's his name? Guardiola, where he's got Jesus Navas playing. I mean, they do manage to do this.
Giggs ended up at left back.
Let's just close this one down. Would you now, I'll ask both of you in turn, start with John. Would you play Antonio in right back?
No, I wouldn't, no.
But he doesn't. No, it worked. It was an experiment. My issue was it went on for a long time. And we're never going to agree with this. Then Dean Saunders said what he said. You obviously have some sympathy because both of you believe that Billets has been undermined. I believe Dean's always had a view, but and our owners speak too much.
So you don't think he's been undermined? Say it. You don't think he's been undermined?
I don't think he's been undermined by any other manager who's under complete pressure in the Premier League. You don't think the rest of the managers in the bottom half are undermined?
No, because you tell me what other chairman has come out and apologised to the fans.
Well,
the performance.
Actually, that's a great link to move us on to the next point. Because, again, John gave me the idea for this story as well, which was on West Ham Till I Die. And I wrote a very controversial...
I want some commission here somewhere along the line.
John gave me the idea. He's been telling me for a long time that Spurs are proper, right? He said they've got a proper owner that doesn't open his mouth. They've got a proper... They set up the club properly. They've got a great youth policy. And he's saying, for a West Ham fan, said, look...
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Are you trying to lay this Tottenham love thing onto me?
And not
just because you've been getting greased. I said to you a while ago when you were going on about that, I said, look, just look at Spurs. They're a team that have been run properly for a number of years. impressive property. Their chairman keeps his mouth shut and does his business professionally. That's how you should run a football club. That's what I said to you.
Yeah, and it and gave you, me the idea.
You gave
right,
it back
story.
To me saying, hold on, there'll be rubbish next season because there'll be £1 million in debt.
I did,
this
yeah.
stadium, you watch, it's all going to fall apart. That's no example. They're no example to look at and want to emulate, you said to me. So you shut me down on that basis. And now you're blaming me for the piece that you...
I got, and Nigel knows this, I wrote a piece, a controversial piece, saying, will West Ham ever catch Spurs? And I highlighted all the differences. And I said, basically, no. You know, they've got 71 points a second. We've got 38 points with a 14th now. You know, they've got youth coming through. They've got a real... I mean, let's be honest. I know you love Village. Pochettino is a far better manager than Village. They've got... I will even agree, I don't like the guy, but their owner is a really good negotiator and their chairman's a really good negotiator. They've set up the club well, and it might hurt us to say that Spurs are heads and shoulders above us, but he's right. I got so much grief. I got called a Spurs fan, did I not, Nigel?
You did. You did. I did resist joining in, but I was and trying to egg him on.
Do you disagree? Do you disagree? This rivalry
no.
with Spurs, I don't understand.
It's
we
a one
never
rivalry.
Catch Spurs.
No. I actually think I wrote something in Over Land and Sea a couple of years ago about how we're falling away from Spurs and that they have done it right. And, you know, I actually disagree that I think they're going to have money troubles with their stadium. Because if you look at what they've done with Gareth Bale, this, you know, for years they were finishing fifth, sixth while selling their best players. And that was
yeah.
bankrolling the club. They weren't actually, yeah. they were earning 50 million a year, you know this, more than us, with
yeah,
the same
yeah.
size stadium. Now, Sullivan comes out and says, we're going to move the Olympic Stadium and enable us to challenge. How much does it earn us? 12 million a year. Well,
yeah.
hold up a minute. 12 million a year. We're 50 million a year with the same size stadium behind them. Ain't ever going to happen.
Yeah, and you know, we're the gaps, they've got in their second season almost definitely with Champions League, which is a whole different level of funding that comes in from Champions League as well.
Well, they
and they're moving. They're moving to Wembley Stadium. They've just got approval, which I put in the story, for the full 90,000. Now, even if they sell their tickets at 20 quid average, which is unlikely, knowing Levy, and he did it at 8 million a year to rent out when Chelsea offered 11, typical Levy, they're going to make something like £36 million extra profit from tickets per year while their new stadium is being built. It, you know, we need to get real. And
yeah, but
chairman,
they can't win a game now. They'll probably go down.
Well, that would be hilarious, wouldn't it? That would be absolutely anyway,
we've got a better record at Wembley than they have at the moment.
It's not a Spurs podcast. So I will. I'm not a Spurs fan. I just don't. I had to shut up. And, you know, we're not going to move to catch up Spurs.
We can't catch up Spurs. We can't. We won't. We won't. They're building their own stadium. You
yeah.
look at what they got planned for their new stadium. They got the American football franchise going in there. They got. Well, they're going to be in 5 years' time. They're going to be.
We are
way in front of us.
We are closing the gap on two things. Can you remember what they are? Because you read the story, Nigel. What are the two things we are closing the gap on Spurs?
I believe distance, we've moved nearer to Tottenham.
We're 1.4
miles
nearer to White Hart Lane.
We're 5 miles away from Spurs now.
And what's the other thing that we absolutely dominate them on?
High mass sell?
No.
Losses?
No.
Do we lose more games than them?
We've got still the biggest TV screen in
the world. Oh, the TV screen. Yeah,
they will not be able to compete when it comes down to TV screens.
Yeah.
Good.
And our Claret Hughes flag is probably still bigger than this.
Well, they got a Claret Hughes flag at Spurs.
We might
buy my name on it.
Anyway,
where's my money?
Let's move on. John brought up earlier, just on the back of that, I think it's what something that David Gold tweeted out, which is Rush Green a state of the art facility? And when you look at Spurs, which I think we've got a 77 acre ground, we've got 39 acres. When you look at Cobham with Chelsea and Arsenal, we are well behind the investment put in training. We've put 12 million again,
that's our chairman on Twitter saying we've got a state-of-the-art training facility. And I asked you a question.
Well, it's better than the Porter Cabins. We used to have a Chapel Heath.
All right, but I said, is it state-of-the-art, our new training facility? And then you look at the picture of the facade as you go in, and it's just a breeze block building that's been painted with the new London Stadium sign on it. But you look at even look at Sunderland's training facility, look at Bournemouth's training facility. They're just, you know, we're not, it doesn't look like it, but I don't know the ins and outs.
Again, we're probably still better than some, and I sent you some stuff on this, but are we in the top six best training facilities? No, we're not. We're probably 7th or 8th.
But do you need that?
Well,
but what I'm saying is that players surely can only train on one pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all pro clubs are going to have roughly probably the same training regime. You know, as long as you've got room for the equipment.
Our manager, they let them all sit around on his arse all day and don't do
well,
anything.
Well, that's true, John. Don't get me started on the training regime at Rush Green. I'm glad you brought that up, John. I didn't mean to start him off.
Carry on, nice please.
Anyway.
Well, Ted Leaf was like Porter Cabin City. I went and played a game there once, years ago.
We've been invited to Rush Green. I'll tell you what, let's see if. We need to go to Rush Green soon, me, John and George. We've been invited down for a competition we won to get some shirts, yeah? Why don't we invite you down as our special guest, Nigel, and we'll all go to Rush Green and see it for ourselves, yeah?
Well, it's only up the road from me, so that'd be all right.
Good. Anyway, let's go on. We're running out of time,
All I'd say about the training facilities is that if you're up against a team on your level, and they come, a player comes and sees the facilities and the ground and all that, it could influence them when you're looking at
it. I know Tottenham, I know it's not Tottenham, but my mate worked on the Tottenham on the Tottenham training ground when it was being built, and I know that some of the stuff they've got there is really state of the art. Even the fact that the players don't even need a badge to walk in, it reads their fingerprint and their eyeball, and it knows who they are.
We've got hydrotherapy for now.
But it's just all shit like that. If you're trying to compete for the same players, it could help us all.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Anyway, last on the running order before we do our predictions, and this is a piece I did Clara and you earlier, which was just...
Kind of Clara and you podcast, you know that.
I know. Just 4 points separate 9th and... 16th place. So I think Southampton are 9th on 40 points. We're on 38 in 14th. And who's below us on 37 points?
You've got Leicester, but with games in hand, you've got...
Then you've got whoever 16th on Hull. 30 points. So there's only 4 points. Hull, I think, are on 33. But whoever's on 37 points, or 36 points, there's only 4 things. Now, in the new TV deal that's worth $8.5 billion, every single place is worth $2 million. So this is a big difference, you know? 4 points difference between those 7 places, and yet they can make the difference between finish 16th and getting $10 million bonus, the merit payment, or finishing 9th and getting $24 million. We really need to grind out every result and get as far as that table as possible. We're not going down, etc. My question to you guys is, we've got 4 games remaining. Obviously, we've got Liverpool, we've got Spurs, we've got Stoke this weekend, we've got Burnley. How many points do you think we can get on top of those 38, Nigel?
1.
Really? And which one is that?
Yeah. Stoke.
Stoke away this Saturday, 1 point draw.
1 point.
We lose to Burnley?
Burnley's home record is phenomenal.
All right, you've fallen right into my trap. So your mate, Sam Allardyce, right, can beat Liverpool, but we can't. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Come back, Sam, all is forgiven.
No, definitely not. No, because what I tell you what I'll say is, what's the difference between, what do you think the bowling ground and the move, how many points has it cost us?
Because if we finish, right, so if we finish 16th, but say 6 points, yeah, the move has cost us, that 6 points could have got us 10th. How much money do we lose? So now the £12 million that we've gained,
we've possibly lost 8 to 10 million.
So therefore, it's been, we might could have stayed at the Bowl-In and earned the same amount of money as
we've
got at the Olympic
If we'd have stayed at the Bowl-In, right, and redeveloped it and got to like a 42,000 capacity, where would the extra 3,000 that attend to every game got in? They couldn't have got in, could they?
Well, they could have gone on the roof for the flats, perhaps.
Did you see the drone footage, by the way?
Now we're only averaging about 45, Sean, isn't it? Is that what we average?
47.
Oh, yeah, but have a look. Everton going, come on, let's be honest. What do you reckon it was? I'm booking 45,000.
Yeah, no. It was at least 40. No, we haven't gone under 47. Come on, guys.
No, there were so many empty seats. The apathy of people staying away is quite...
So, and then when our lot starts singing to the Everton fans, your support is whatever shit.
Yeah.
And they're all pointing at the empty seats. And you're like,
talking about empty seats, we want to do a little bit of commercial. John, myself, and George are away in Munich for the Spurs game. Our seats are available with a friend of ours. We're selling them for £60 each, so that's such a big
game.
For one, £60 each.
What, you're not ticket trading them? You're not giving money back to the club?
No, not in this game.
You're denying the club an income.
We will take euros, by the way, because we're going to Munich on a stag do. But we are selling four seats in Block 113, Row 19, for £240, and we will forward them to friends, as it's supposed to be, of listeners to this podcast. If you're interested, get in contact with us.
Is that face value?
Well, it's for the general admission price, that is £60. So you're right, face value. £240 for four tickets. That ends the commercial.
Unbelievable.
Actually, a hospitality company has contacted me and offered me £240 for them, John, today. But it's dodgy. They wanted
They'll get that. Well, I won't say what they'll get for it.
Yeah, anyway. I felt a bit dodgy about that.
Surely everybody wants to get down to London Stadium on a Friday night, don't they?
Yeah. Anyway, we probably need to... give me your... Sorry, just to follow this up. How many points do you reckon we can earn, John? Because Nigel Dunn is...
I think I said the other week when we were doing it, I said I thought we'd finished at 40 points. So
you say two more points,
two more draws. Yeah, I can't see us getting anything from Liverpool or Spurs, so I'm going Stoke, a draw. Burnley, a draw.
I think we can win away at Stoke this weekend. We can draw at Spurs and Liverpool and win Burnley away. So I'm going to go for another 8 points and get in ninth.
Even without
toe the party line,
44 point finish.
Even without undermined manager and everything,
46. Yeah. He's going to finish strong before his hip replacement. Anyway, good. That's all the time we've got for this evening. We didn't mention why George is not here. Unfortunately, his train was delayed. Someone threw themselves under a train in Battersea, which meant he couldn't get back to
Tottenham
London.
Tottenham fans get everywhere.
Hopefully it wasn't a Tottenham fan. So we're playing Stoke away. Obviously, I pretty much know what you're going to say, Nigel, because you've already said it, haven't you?
Draw.
We're going to draw.
They're having a bad run. Berahino hasn't scored.
1-1? What?
0-0, I think.
Okay.
8-1, I think.
Yeah, we can't score, so I was going to say 0-0, so let's go 1-1.
Obviously already said that we're going to win away at Stoke, so I'm going to go for a cheeky 2-1 win. Andy Carroll's going to come back, Sacco is going to come back, we're going to have two up front, it's going to be a 4-4-2, it's going to be beautiful, boys.
When did we last play two up front, proper two up front?
I don't know.
Sunderland.
Did he start with AU?
Cavill and AU, isn't it? Was it not? Well, it's hard to know.
It's hard to know
where they play.
Are you a striker?
Well, according to Debbie Sullivan, yes. Okay. Anyway, that's all the time we've got for tonight. So it's goodbye from me, Sean. Goodbye. John has been...
happy.
Nigel has been...
me.
And that's all it. What do we say now? We say... come on, you Irons.
Oh, yeah, that as well, yeah.
Come on, you Irons. See you later.
Up the Hammers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.